I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining me this morning. Today, we have the beautiful Lisa Canning. So without further ado, let's get right into it. Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining me. Today, our special guest is Lisa Canning. Thank you for being here, Lisa.
Oh my gosh, this is such a thrill because I am a total fan. And so it's so fun to be on your podcast.
That is so sweet of you. Now, I just was interviewed by you. Can you tell our audience about what you have going on right now?
I am a mom of 10, 9 on earth, 1 on heaven, 1 in heaven. And I used to be on HGTV. I had the fun opportunity to flex my design skills, host a TV show. And then I started designing both in front of the camera and behind the camera for many years in the United States and Canada. As quickly as that design career and platform grew, I had a bunch of children, nonstop children every 18 months, almost to the date.
Oh my goodness.
We have had a baby. And I found, as you would imagine, the demands of a TV career and an interior design firm and the demands of very small children, one after the other, these demands just grew increasingly more and more incompatible. And I kind of fell prey to the trap of, I'm going to prove that I can do it all everybody. Mm-hmm. I had one camp of people telling me that, you know, you should just be staying home. I had another camp of people being like, no, like just put your kids in daycare. It's going to be fine. And I just was sort of convinced that there had to be another way. And it was a very long process. I fell on my face many times, but the Lord showed me over several years that there was another way. There was another way that I could pursue the dreams and the gifts that He had given me very clearly, but also show up really well for my health, for my marriage, for my prayer life, for my children. And so my business started to morph and people started to take notice. People were like, you seem happier than you were before. You're still working, but it looks a little different. And so I began to realize that I was doing something. I turned that into a book, The Possibility Mom, How to Be a Great Mom and Pursue Your Dreams at the Same Time. And now I coach women on how to follow their dreams while being great moms, as well as how to build businesses, because that became just a natural extension.
Wow. I have so many questions. So what was that like being on HGTV? Did you enjoy it? Did you like it? Did it bring out a lot of insecurities? Just how did your husband support you? Let's start there.
You know, probably still for me, what is most fun is live TV because it's really unexpected. Sometimes there's a producer whispering in your ear. I mean, you know this, like, and there can be a little bit of a thrill with like having to pivot, having to come up with something to say, and you have to fit it into 60 seconds. So I found that part like really, really enjoyable. And then I kind of just learned as I went. What was very challenging for me, Crystalina, was that's when social media, when I started my television career in 2007, social media was beginning to become like a beast. And so what I found really difficult was people started to comment on what I was doing on television online. And that was such an interesting thing to navigate. How do you navigate these negative comments, these criticisms of both like my personality and my design? That was a really interesting thing to navigate.
So how did you deal with everyone just knocking you like that, knocking you down like that? That's hard. I mean, the demonic dialogue had to be something fierce.
You know, it was, I didn't know how to handle it. I didn't have the skills back then to, you know, like, of course, you would hear sort of the happy clappy statements like, don't let anybody get you down. They're just jealous of your success. What I didn't have the skill of was like not believing them. Like that was the hardest part. So I could like ignore, I could be like, oh yeah, of course it's a stranger on the internet, you know, Alpha 152. Like, I can just ignore what Alpha 152 is saying. But what was challenging was that I would start to believe them, and I would let these negative comments inform more and more my self-image, like my self-concept of myself. And I would still persevere. I would still move forward. I would still smile. But it's like I had this big giant, you know, sack or boulder or what have you, that just kept getting heavier, heavier. And I would voluntarily carry it around with me. I mean, and if I'm being really honest, like at 38 years old today, I still really struggle with allowing the comments of others to not distract me, or even my own negative self-talk to not distract me from moving forward or pursuing something that I know that I can feel very clearly I've been called to do. So yeah, I didn't have the skills back then. I'm very thankful in my mindset coaching, especially, I've been able to learn that thoughts you have are optional. Like, I didn't know that before.
Wow.
I didn't know before.
Like you can... I've never heard it put that way before. The thoughts you have are optional.
Like, and the way, when I got trained as a mindset coach, my coaches were like, think of thoughts the same way that if you were to write on a computer or like write on social media, a caption for a post, and then you delete it. That is how thoughts are. But unfortunately, we can sometimes have what we call sticky thoughts, thoughts that maybe we think often, or thoughts that are presented to us often, that then become like, oh, no, I have no choice but to think this. Like, I have no choice but to hang on to this because it feels way too real. It feels way too, it's not an option. Like, this is reality. And what a coach can help one do is just really to kind of shake it loose and learn that, no, actually, that's an optional thought. You don't have to think it. You can think something else, but you have to choose it.
Wow. That is hard for a lot of people, because we have so many lies that we believe and hold to be true that are not, right? So that probably makes a lot of sense. And for me and a lot of the listeners out there, again, today we are talking with Lisa Canning, and she is the Possibility Mom. And she has a podcast of her own. Correct? Is it a podcast or is
that's
it?
Right.
Yes,
a podcast. It's live on YouTube and then straight to podcast as well.
Right. And that's what we did. We did a live interview. And do you know, I didn't know it was live at the time. When we did our interview, I didn't realize it was like full blown live. I'm so used to just recording everything. I just thought it was a recording, and it didn't matter either way, but it was a lot of fun and I really enjoyed being on it. And it seemed like there was a really good response from it, but I love your approach and how honest and just matter of fact you are. And a lot of people can't be that way. And I think that's just something so great about you, because you can tell when someone's interviewing you or you're being interviewed, kind of where the person's at, and just kind of being matter of fact is a good thing. And I like how you use the word interesting. It's very interesting. That's a nice way of saying something else. So I love that about you. It's wonderful. So I'm still kind of hung up on this HGTV show, which I think is amazing. But where was your husband in all of this? Because was it hard for him? Was he home with the kids? I mean, what was going on in your marriage while all of this was happening? Because there's almost like this shift in this balance, you know, or unbalance of something.
Yeah, it's a great question. So we were newly married when my HGTV career was taking off. And I have been blessed with an amazing man who was just very practical. So when he started to see what my earning potential was in television, he just was like, it just makes sense that at this stage in our life, you are pursuing it. So we were no kids when my career launched. And then we had our first child very quickly. We had our second child fairly quickly. I was still working in TV, and our third child fairly quickly. And at various stages in the first 3 years of our, you know, now 10 kids, we did all kinds of things. So he worked full time. He was in campus ministry at the time up here in Toronto, Canada. He would work full time. I was working part time. We did things where I was working full time and he took paternity leave. So he took months of leave from his full time work in order to support me in my work, we did hybrid things where I was part-time, he was part-time. And when I would get a television show, the way television works is that you're often just shooting for like a few months at a time. Like it's not necessarily a 12-month commitment. You'll know for a contract, like you're committed for a 3-month period. And we would just make these decisions in like blocks at a time. I'm sure it's very similar to how you and Jason have had made, you know, these decisions about, okay, you're speaking here, you're in Australia, you're, you know.
Yeah, and I'm home, or he's home and I'm there.
And we just, over the years, really took it one little chunk of time at a time. But I will tell you, we epically, or I'm going to say I epically failed at it. I share this in my book, The Possibility Mom, how epically I failed at it. I was like, we're just going to keep going. You know, I felt like I had his buy-in, which I did. And I was just like, we're just going to ride this as long as we can, because I was 100% tying my self-worth to my work. I had, you know, I think a common conception that I think a lot of young women my age may have was that my career was very important. I definitely received all those messages that what you did for work, the money you brought in, that yes, family was very important also, but this was an important entity, that somehow I would be wasting my university degree, that somehow I would be wasting my talents if I didn't pursue especially a television career. Crystalina, I was told straight up, like, yeah, you should like really think about not having any more babies, or like waiting, because your TV career is really strong right now. Like I was literally told those words. And so I just believed them. Like, I don't know. I didn't have the, like reflecting back on it, I didn't have the confidence I have now to say no and then deal with the after effects. So whether that be disappointment for people, or even judgment, or even, you know, losing a job, like I did not have the confidence to deal with those negative emotions, but to also believe that God maybe had something in store that was like bigger, better. I did not have that confidence at the time. So my husband was very supportive, but I share in my book, there was one point where he literally described our life like, I feel like I am being held by a vice grip. Like everything feels awful. I never know when the stress is going to end. You keep telling me it's just one more episode, it's just one more week, and then I'm done. But then it's never done. And that was just the truth. It was never done, because when you tie your self-worth to your work, when you tie your self-worth to something that is external, it's never enough. Like it's never enough.
It's a beast you have to feed, huh?
Constantly. Yeah. And that was obviously exhausting. And so, you know, he continues to be my number one fan, and we learned so much from that experience. We are big proponents of flexibility. Like we love both being able to work from home, to be very present. We're currently homeschooling our children collectively. I wouldn't say we're doing the best job at it right now. It is a work in progress, but we value that flexibility, but it has come with a lot of experience. Like we've had to learn, okay, what does it look like for you to get time? What does it look like for you to pursue things that light you up, that make you feel like you're contributing in a meaningful way to some kind of mission, the mission that God has, you know, put in your heart. And of course, what does it look like to raise our 9 kids and homeschool them well and like keep them fed, like all the things. So yeah, it's been an epic work in progress that we continue to refine. Like we're kind of never done in that refinement.
Ooh, I like that word, refinement. Let's keep refining things. So with that kind of refinement, where are you at with all the ages of your children?
13, 12, 10, 9, 7, 6. It's like ladder.
So 4, 3. And then down all the way to, okay, baby.
A baby.
Wow. And you're homeschooling them. Bravo to you. And bravo to all the homeschoolers out there. I tried to be a homeschooling mom. It was one of those blocks that was a square trying to fit into a circle.
Oh my.
There, and I epically failed. But I was an imposter homeschooler. Let me be so honest, Lisa. I built a classroom in my basement. I hired a full-blown teacher. It was like the bell. I even had a bell and it rang and the kids had a schedule and everything else. And I taught like science and the fun stuff. And even then it was just like, it was, the kids needed to go and socialize and be with their friends. And I say that when God made me and he gave that like sugar and spice, one of the spices was not a homeschooling mom, because some are rock stars at it. Unbelievable homeschooling moms, and some women just are not. And I'm in that category. I'm going to be so honest. So kudos to you for doing it and sticking with it, because it was really difficult for me. I'm going to be honest with that. It was very, very difficult. But they're in an excellent school out here, and we are really blessed with the school they go to here in Arizona. But if we didn't have that school, I don't know where we would be. But God has blessed us with that. Now, did your husband help with homeschooling as well?
Yeah, you know, it's been so interesting. I think we were also those kinds of people who were like, we will never homeschool. And when we have a beautiful home in Ave Maria, Florida. And while we were there, we had our children in just an exceptional Catholic school. And I think that's the thing, you know, a family's got to look at the situation. We had access to an amazing school. And so that was the route we went when we were there. We're now in Toronto, Canada, spending some time with my family. And there wasn't that same kind of school available to us. Yeah. So we elected to homeschool. So we've actually just been like really enjoying making it an adventure. We do a lot of trips. We're trying to make a lot of the learning really experiential. And so, yeah, we're doing it together. And what's fun to watch in my husband is he has, I think, a 10 plus year career in campus ministry and evangelization. And so the thing that I've enjoyed watching the most is just how he teaches the faith to our children and how we talk about virtue. You know, it's been really, really fun. That's been the most delightful part of this all, is that we're having conversations about virtue with our children, and then like having to, you know, model said virtue.
goes back to you. Let's be honest. The virtue goes back onto mommy and daddy. Like, are you practicing these virtues? Mommy, you're not being very patient right now. Or daddy, you're not being very virtuous right now. You know, our kids are the first like line of telling us like, well, you're not doing it. Do you get that from your children? I know I do. I'll be honest.
100%. Oh, like 100%. So that's been a really interesting and stretching, but honestly delightful. Like, I think that's the word that's coming to mind. It's been delightful to do a lot of life with my children.
Yeah.
We're just enjoying it at the present moment. Ask me again in 6 months, Christina.
It's the beginning stages, honeymoon stages. So let's talk about baby after baby after baby, because that is something that I think a lot of my listeners have experienced, some of them, and I know I have, and you have, and it is not easy, and it wears and tears on you, not just your body, but also your emotional and mental strength as well. And it's like the piling on, is how I kind of saw it back then, of just like these, just, whoa, just a lot of this responsibility and already feeling inadequate of having the babies that I already had. And then here I was again, pregnant, feeling overwhelmed and just like almost upset with God at the time, of just like, don't you see me buried right now in this quicksand? Like, what is happening? And at the end of the day, I think that's where I look back and I thank God for my faith and handing my will over to him and replacing it with his will in my life at the time, because I can't say that selfish Kristalina, if I was worldly and living in the world, I get it. Women are just like, no, it's too much right now. I can't take it. I can't deal with it. But when you hand that over to God, he is in control, and it can be scary, but at the same time, those decisions that you're allowing him to make for you versus you, I couldn't imagine my life without my Mary Stella or my Angelica or my Joseph or all of my 11 children, you know, and even the ones that I did have a miscarriage. And I've talked about this a lot on my show, Lisa, of my miscarriages. I know the millisecond that I die, I feel like my children are going to be right there. Mm. And it's going to be like a family reunion. You know, regardless of where they're escorting me or how that ever works or whatever's happening, okay? I just know with all my heart, I just know I'm going to see my babies, you know? And I pray to them. I ask them to help their brothers and sisters, help them to help their mommy and daddy. And I feel like I have this family member up in heaven just going to bat for me up there, just praying for me and rooting for me and sending graces to me, because God knew we would need that in the battle that we're facing right now. And he knew the battles that were coming. He knew, especially this last miscarriage. Jason was on a pilgrimage and I went through the miscarriage by myself. And it was brutal. That was a whole different experience than my other two. And again, it's just like you go through this almost, God, what are you doing? Don't you see me? Don't you see what's happening right now? And then almost something else gets piled on and you just kind of take a step back. And it's just like these moments, at least for me, where I'm just like a little upset with God. Like, what is going down right now? You're kidding me, you know, and a little angry, like he's putting me through it. But at the same time, he knows what is happening. He knows what's going on. And I think our surrender, our docility to what he's asking us to do in that moment and just fulfilling his will in our lives is the most important thing we can do. Because in the end, it all makes sense. Because the people and even Mother Mary or Jesus himself walking in the end, walking to the crucifix, to that crucifixion, I mean, it looked brutal and bloody and just like, this is, oh my gosh, is this happening? But it all makes sense now. But in the moment and in the time, the people crying and weeping and seeing this, it's just like, this is unjust what is happening right now, you know? So in the end, our suffering does make sense, but we just have to keep walking that walk and carrying that cross. And God does show us that light at the end of the tunnel when he's time to reveal his plans to us.
Amen. But it's very difficult to remember that. Yes. When you are drowning in three under three. Like, I remember that was the most difficult. Like, I had three kids. For many years, I've had three kids in diapers.
Oh my gosh, let's talk about that, because the revolving diaper days, that's what I call those, revolving diaper days, where all day I felt like I was changing diaper after diaper after diaper.
We had three kids in diapers for many chunks the last 13 years. We have just had a bit of a respite. Like, I have a 1-year-old, he's obviously in diapers, but we potty trained our now 4-year-old and our 3-year-old just copied. I have never a 3-year-old potty train as easy as my Colleen. Like, and so anyway, but here's what I want to respond to in this whole adventure of having a bunch of children and trusting God with it. For the first 4 to 5 kids, it was very difficult for me. I would say that I accepted God's will. I remember the second child, I was like, oh, this is so cute. Like, 2 little kids. This is going to be so awesome. Third child, I was like, what on earth? It was 3 under 3. Like, and I just remember being like, I was still interior designing. I was still in a television career. I was like, Lord, like, seriously, like, what is happening? When we were pregnant with our third, my husband's clinical depression, like, came back. So he had disclosed to me that he had had clinical depression diagnosis. He had even been hospitalized for it for a period. Wow. But this was before we were married. So I was kind of just like, oh yeah, like everyone is like that when they're like in their, you know, early 20s. Like, I was like, oh yeah, everybody has like a sad period. I had no idea what mental illness sort of meant. It was not something that was discussed in my family or with my friends. Like, it just was something I was very foreign to. And then his depression came in like a Mack truck. And we talk about this on our YouTube, like, very, you know, publicly. We've actually just started a charity around it called Persevere Together, that we're just, it's in the very, very early stages, because we really want to support couples to persevere. And anyway, so came in like a Mack truck. When I look back on it now, I can see all the signs. I was working so intensely. There was so much pressure all the time. 3 kids, 3 and under. So you better believe, Crystalina, when depression came into our marriage, I was like, Lord, what?
What just happened?
Like, I remember having conversations with the Lord being like, I'm going to be a single mom of 3 kids. Like, not that we were getting divorced or anything, but just my husband was so sad and so debilitated. I was like, I'm basically going to be on my own. Thanks be to God, through a lot of healing and through a lot of work and counseling and therapy and mindset coaching and all the things, like we've come on the other side. We continue to journey with mental illness, but we have tools now to handle it. But for me, those first like 4 to 5 kids, I was constantly asking the Lord, like, are you sure you like were correct? Like, are you like, was this really your will for my life? Or did I, like, I clearly didn't get the memo how this all works out.
Right. We are going to take a quick break right now. And when we get back, we are going to have more of Lisa Canning and her amazing story when we get back from our friends at EWTN. So stay tuned. Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining me. I am here with Lisa Canning, and we are discussing all things motherhood, life, and her amazing Possibility Moms podcast, YouTube show, and just all of the struggles that we were just talking about before the break. And also I just want to give my listeners that are just tuning in right now, Lisa, kind of recapping what we were just discussing in regards to your husband and the amount of children that you had at the time, and just this clinical depression. Can you just kind of recap of where you came from, where your life is at, and where we were at in our conversation?
For the first 5-ish kids of my now 9 kids on earth, I definitely did not trust God with the plan. And depression entered our marriage very vividly, like ferociously, at child number 3. And I just was in this constant state of like, Lord, this cannot be the plan. I mean, Crystalina, I still sometimes say that. Like, this cannot be the plan. Like,
wait, what? Okay, wait, no, I want to know. Did you take that on? Like, if your husband's depression, this came in and it was intense, how as a wife did you not almost take that on? Like, is it me? Am I not doing something right? Am I causing this? Like, are those questions that were coming up for you? Because there's other women experiencing what you're talking about right now in their own husbands, and how can they not question, like, the insecurities and doubts not flood them?
I think it was very difficult for me to not blame myself, especially because I was working so heavily. So it was like very just like, you caused this, you and your career ambitions and all the money you wanted to earn and all the fame you wanted caused this depression. And of course, I know that's not true. However, I do know that there are certain things that are necessary for a family to thrive. And yes, we were not anywhere near that. Like, a family just cannot work around the clock and be healthy, right? And so that was a very stark reality to grapple with. And I, to be honest, I was very angry at God for a lot of different periods in that season. But after the 5th baby, especially, so we were starting to gain new skills and tools. And I'll be honest with you, it was also like, do we be open to life after a serious mental illness incident? Right.
Yeah.
And ultimately we discerned yes. And that's a whole other conversation for another day. I'd be happy to have with you, but we just discerned, like, there's no other way to say it. I spoke to my spiritual director and he was like, you will just know. And I was very dissatisfied with that answer, let me tell you. He was like, you will just know. And I was like, that's not the answer I want. Just tell me if I should have a baby or not. Anyway, but especially after the 5th baby, what I noticed was that my ability to handle hard things just naturally increased, just by the nature of having to raise these kids, the nature of dealing with depression and, you know, going to my own counseling, my own therapy, getting my own coaching, all those kinds of things. I had amassed an amazing set of skills.
And strength you didn't know you had, right?
Ooh, and strength, yes, I didn't know I had. And that's the hope I really want to share with people. And I really want to share that it doesn't need to take 5 kids. Like, hear me really clearly. I learned how to trust the Lord by experience. And yes, that does happen in everyone's life. But it was also how I was thinking about the situation. And I do want to unpack a few of those thoughts, if you'll allow me.
Sure.
So one big thing in my first sort of season of motherhood. So I kind of have like, if you were to draw a timeline of my life, there was like the season of up to five kids. And then there's the season like post five kids, right? The season up to five kids was so much about living for the expectations of other people.
Wow.
So I was, again, career focused, but also very Catholic. So I was trying to please, you know, these people around me. You know, I'll be honest, Crystalina, I was looking at families like yours, even like, you know, before you and I became friends, like I just was looking at these different models of what I thought like Catholic ideal looked like.
There's a pressure. Don't you feel like there is this unspoken pressure that you have to live up to this certain, like, I don't know, ideal, or you have to be a certain way when you think of a Catholic mom or Catholic families? And does that make sense?
Oh, 100%.
Because I fell into that trap when I first got married as well. I know exactly what you're talking about. And you wanted to do it all right. And oh, I epically failed. I epically failed trying to meet this unspoken standard that is almost just kind of there, laced, intertwined in this Catholic motherhood that you think you have to fit this mold when it's not true, right?
Mm-hmm. And again, that is a thought. So I yes. have this very pervasive thought that Catholic motherhood has to look like this.
Yes.
And then I had a thought, well, career ambition and like worldly success looks like this. And I was kind of trying to mash them up together.
They collide. they just crash actually into each other. It just causes a hot mess, right?
And so what happened, especially between my fourth and my fifth baby, like, and that was a very precious time for me, was that God revealed that there was a Lisa Canning way. And this is the thing that I really want to sort of, you know, if you don't remember anything else from this podcast, is that there is a way that the Lord wants you to live your unique vocation that should and will look different from Lisa Canning's, from Crystalina's, from anyone else you follow on the internet, from your sister, from your mother. Like, it is going to look different, and it should look different because mm-hmm. you are uniquely made. And what is required to follow that out is a lot of courage. Like, and I still fall, you know, like into this where I'm tempted to look sideways and be like, oh, I should be kind of living like that. You know, there are some Instagram accounts that I just have to be very careful around, meaning I can consume them, but I have to be a little bit like, oh, okay, I'm just going to consume and then I'm going to be on my merry way. Because sometimes I can still be like, oh, I shouldn't be doing this. Like, oh, I shouldn't be working at all. But then when I work, when I coach women, especially when I coach women in business, it is just so clear to me. The Holy Spirit is clearly working. like it is clearly working, and I can feel it and I can see it. I'm given the feedback, and I coach in a very unique way. And anyway, my point is here is that it's just like, it's palpable what is happening when I allow the Lord to work. And we all have to do that. And my favorite thing is just like blinders up. You know, when you look at the communion of saints, right? Like when I look at female saints, there is a lot of diversity. And I think that's something else that people forget. Like, there were lots of entrepreneurial saints. There were a lot of saints that had money and did good things with it. Yes, there were a lot that also, you know, took on vows of poverty. Yes, of course. But there is a lot of poverty in the communion of saints. And mm-hmm. so why would we in the modern day be any different? Mm-hmm. We're not all called to be the same. But this requires courage. This requires a lot of discernment. This requires a heck of a good spiritual director. Uh-huh. This requires like this unity and intimacy. You were talking about miscarriage. We experienced our very first miscarriage at the end of 2022. We had to make some really difficult decisions. We moved. We, you know, all of these things. We made some, it was a very, very difficult year. I had some business disappointments and just tons of things. But if honestly, my husband and I were just reflecting on this, we just celebrated 15 years of marriage. And he was like, what year of our marriage would you like do again and again? And I was just like, honestly, it was awful. And I still feel like I'm wrung out. But this last year of my life, I would do again because of the intimacy that was developed with our Lord. Mm. Like this ability to truly be yourself, I believe, begins in this place of just like divine intimacy, this like silence, this, you know, clinging to the cross. And, you know, it's challenging. And I hate that sometimes it requires pain to feel, but we need the Lord, and he is going to sometimes serve up on a silver platter opportunities for you to need him. Right. My biggest challenge, Kristalina, in my life is self-reliance.
Wow. I think it takes relying on God, right? That's the biggest thing, that faith in God. He's going to just follow through, and he's got you in those difficult times, right?
I have it like hardwired in my DNA, I think, that like, oh no, you can figure this out on your own. Like you are like resilient. You are, you know, you can,
right?
You are so sufficient, you know, and again, this is a great skill to have, like to be, you know, we need people who can, you know, make fires in the wilderness and whatever. And again, with 9 children, I've learned how to be resourceful, practical, like mm-hmm. you just have to, there's no other option. Otherwise your kids don't get, you know, fed and washed and all the things. However, that comes with a downside. And I just sort of feel like, again, the Lord is currently in a season with me, or I'm in a current season with the Lord, where he's just reminding me, hey, I need you to rely on me. Yes, I've given you some pretty cool skills, Lisa, that you're going to use to benefit the world and build the kingdom. But I also really need you to rely on me. And so that's like this confidence to be who you're meant to be, to set the world ablaze, as Catherine of Siena, you know, shares famously. It really begins with this discernment that is grounded in intimacy with our Lord.
Right. And also the trust. And this is one thing that I was on this radio show. They were interviewing me for my new book, right? And I had this epiphany in the middle of this radio show. And bear with me with this, okay? So I'm talking about just that demonic dialogue that really beats everybody up, everybody, man and women, young child, everybody. And it's how we kind of counter that. And everybody's so quick to believe this. And we all know the evil one's messing with us. And even I just did a conference over the weekend, and I had the ladies raise their hand, and I was raising my hand of, okay, ladies, how many of you struggle with this demonic dialogue and believing the lies the evil one is just beating you up with, of you're not worthy enough, you're not lovable enough, you're not smart enough, yada, yada, yada. Every single one raised their hand. There were nuns in there just like, yes, we struggle with that too. And then I also, in this epiphany that I had, was then why is it so hard for us also to believe that God is going to counter that, and he's also speaking to you? Mm. I feel like it's so easy for us to blow that small, still voice of God off. Like, he's not really talking to me. But we can, we get it, the fact that, okay, the devil is beating me up with these lies, and it's not true, and I need to counter that. But everybody out there listening, God is also talking to you. And I don't take that lightly. And because maybe we think, well, okay, is that really true? Is that really God? I mean, why would he even talk to me, kind of thing? But it's like, it is wired in us. That is what I don't is wired in us. And it is that compass to heaven of that small, still voice that is imperative in our walk with God and our relationship with him and Jesus, to listen and to be obedient without haste. And 9 times out of 10, most people just say, oh, later, or it's not that big of a deal, when it's a huge deal. And we need to make it a big deal in our lives, because he's really trying to lead us and guide us in that moment. And then you're wondering why you have problems.
One of my favorite questions to ask my clients when they bring me a thought is, who would want you to believe that thought? Jesus Christ or the enemy?
Ooh, I like it. That's a good gauge for a lot of things in people's lives, right?
It's such a good gauge.
It's such a good gauge.
And it's very quick. And so, I invite your listeners to just, the next time you have a thought that maybe is leading you to spiral or to not do something or to really hesitate, just like ask yourself that question and allow then, again, it takes a lot of courage, fortitude, obedience, like all the virtues, like to do this stuff, to live boldly, to live counterculturally. Oh my word, it's a lot. But just like, can we listen? Can we not only listen, but then act in accordance with thoughts that lead us closer to Jesus and not listening to the evil one.
And I love what you said, Lisa, that everybody isn't going to look the same. We all have our gifts. And like, my gifts are different than your gifts. They're kind of similar, but they're different. And the biggest thing is, we all have a seat at the table. You can't take mine. I can't take yours. And if I don't fulfill mine, nobody's going to take that place. That is my seat at God's table. And it's like this competition, this cattiness or constant comparison, and this social media monster that feeds off of everybody's insecurities. You know, it's just like, no. God created me in my own strengths and in my own mission, in the things He's given me. And even though it may look similar to other women that are out there doing things, it's never going to be the same. They have not walked my walk. They have not lived my life. They don't have my same experiences or relationship with Jesus. Everybody is unique. And we all need to know that. And you're going to help and touch people, Lisa, I probably never will get to, and vice versa, because He's using us in our own unique, beautiful way. And, you know, I was in Mass the other day, and I just felt really beat up, right? And after communion, I was sitting there praying, and I felt in my heart of hearts, just that small, still voice, right? And I felt, because I was even crying, because, man, there's a lot that goes on. And I felt, I heard Him say to me that all the blows from the world and all of the lashes that you get coming after you, and He says, I know you feel fractured at times, but with those pieces, I can make a masterpiece. And it just hit home for me, and I'm bawling, and I had communion, and, you know, and that was something just for me and in my heart. But it rang so true, I think, for other women that I've told that to, that we do feel fractured at times. We do feel beat up. But even in those moments of weakness, that God can do great things as long as we're giving it over to Him. But how do you give it over to Him, Lisa, in those moments when you feel hurt and it's hard?
This is where my coach training kind of just like sometimes goes on autopilot, not always, but in my good moments, it goes on autopilot. So I feel the feeling. So like when I'm disappointed, that's probably my most challenging emotion that I deal with, disappointment. So if somebody says no, or something doesn't work out, disappointment is really, it's related to failure for me. So I feel it. That's the first thing I do. I'm just like, I'm just going to feel this. This is terrible. I don't like it.
Allow yourself to like actually feel what's happening instead of like stuffing it, ignoring it.
Yeah.
Putting lipstick and keep going, ladies. We know what we're talking about.
Ooh. And just like, I'll like pay attention. Like, where do I feel this in my body? Like, and I just, sometimes it's like funny. Like I'll be in my kitchen and I'll just be like, oh, this is disappointment. You know, this is, ugh. And I'll just like, I'll stand there and I'll feel it.
And you name it?
Yeah. And I name it. This is disappointment, or this is grief. Oh gosh. I have to say that so many times. Yeah. And just name the feeling. This is grief. Sometimes we try to run from these emotions, exactly what you said, like stuff it. And trust me, it's just, it doesn't do you well to stuff it. And one thing that's been really fun that I gained as a result of my mindset coaching is sometimes I'll go to like, okay, so for example, despair. So disappointment will sometimes lead me to despair. I'll picture myself in the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus. Like I'll put myself in a situation where Jesus felt that same human emotion. And I'll just like in my mind's eye, sit there. It's kind of like an Ignatian spirituality exercise. I'll just sit there and I'll kind of just like let this sort of movie in my brain play out, of Jesus weeping, of Jesus asking His Father, you know, where are you? Like, do I have to do this? And then that kind of allows me, and usually for me at this point, because I've done this so often, you know, this is sometimes a 60-second exercise. Sometimes it's a little longer, depending on how challenging it is. And then that's enough for me to just be like, okay, Lord, all right, be with me in this sadness. And now give me some courage and strength to like do what you've asked me to do in front of me. Sometimes I'll put in some human elements. So for example, like I'll just drink some water. Like I'll do something that is grounding for me physically. Or when I lived in Florida, I would go outside with my bare feet. So I would just do something that was very grounding, and you kind of can't ignore it. Here in Canada, I've actually really enjoyed also going out into the cold and just even for like a second, like breathing in really cold air. Just, you kind of can't ignore these body parts. Like just, you can't ignore it. Like when it's cold, you're kind of snapped out of it for a minute. Right. Mm-hmm. And that can be very helpful.
It's like change the environment almost.
Exactly. Like, okay. And it that can be very, very, very helpful. Mm-hmm. So I feel the feeling, I kind of meet Jesus in the feeling. I will do something for my body that is helpful. And then ultimately I just look at, I almost have in my back pocket, you know, several thoughts that help me to persevere. So for example, forgive me, I'm paraphrasing it. It's from James, but it's like, even in the worst of situations, like you will persevere. I'm totally paraphrasing it, but I have these scripts and scriptures and thoughts that I kind of just draw from.
That's
that
super
I know
powerful. Women don't understand how the Bible is powerful like that.
Oh yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
You've experienced that, right?
There's just truth in it. Like, mm-hmm. You know, and it's interesting. I'll share, I was raised Catholic. I owned Bibles growing up, but I didn't really read the Bible as like a form of personal prayer. And then when the pandemic hit and I could not receive the Eucharist, I became like obsessed with the Word of God. Wow. And I read my Bible like I read so much of my Bible during the pandemic. And so now the Magnificat has been very helpful to me. Like these just, it's become a habit now. And I really want to encourage people, like there is so much truth in our Bibles and truth in the form of thoughts. Like you can use sentences in scripture and have them be part of your normal inner dialogue, your normal inner monologue. You can teach them to your children. Mm-hmm. We can renew our minds. Like
I love that.
I was talking about the first five of my kids, that journey, that phase of motherhood, mm-hmm. This journey now, like children, like 5 through 9, what it is now is truly a season of trusting the Lord. And the difference is now this, I know He has my best interest at heart. Like I know that what He is leading me into, while it might be painful and terrible, He has not abandoned me. He has not left me. And I know it is for my sanctity. And I have a greater appreciation or a greater understanding that this is a temporary pit stop. Like this life on earth. And I'll be honest, like miscarrying that baby really helped me to just the veil between heaven and earth, like how this is temporary and we are meant to be like in eternity. And so when I'm going through hardship, I really like to just fix my eyes on this is just a pit stop towards the ultimate destination.
And it's good. I like that, Lisa. I really like that. Just to remind yourself in those moments when you are going through it, because so many people right now are going through it, right? In their own way, in their own experiences, or getting pummeled. And just to know it's temporary. It is just a temporary thing that's happening right now, and there will be an end to it because God is with you, and either He's strengthening you or purging you or whatever it is He's doing, but He is with us in those moments and in that time. And if you think about it back in Gethsemane, that even God the Father knew how hard it was when Jesus was going through that He sent Him an angel to help Him and comfort Him because He was engulfed in that darkness, right? He was engulfed and overwhelmed with everybody's sins. And even Jesus had help in that moment and in that time of where He felt such darkness and pain of all the sin, that angel came and helped Him. And I think we forget about that angel that helped Him in the beginning, and that it's okay if we ask for help, if we ask loved ones for help, if we ask Jesus in the moment for help. But at the end of the day, that's actually a strength to be able to ask for help and accept it, if it's by our Lord or if it's by family members, and not to be ashamed, but to invite them in that moment and invite Jesus in that moment of weakness, because you will be strengthened by that, just like Jesus was strengthened by that angel that came to help Him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And don't forget about your own guardian angels, everyone. We always forget about our guardian angels just standing by, twiddling his thumbs probably like, hello, I'm here. Don't forget about me. You know, and those are difficult times. And also, let's talk about spiritual strength, Lisa, because every every Saturday I talk about confession and that the most important thing that you can do is to be right with God in your life right now in this moment. And today is Saturday. And most confessions are open at your local Catholic parish to call before and check, but most of them are open, and to have the courage to go. And maybe you have been going and you just kind of slipped and it's been a little while and you're just like, oh, it's been 3 months or 6 months, or maybe it's been a month and it's just like, okay, it's time. Because I know, everyone, when I push it off, I have a harder time, and I have a harder time with patience. I have a harder time with my own vices, and slowly, wherever there's little cracks, the devil will seep in. Period. Mm-hmm. End of discussion. It's going to happen. So just expect it, but to keep your fortress fortified and go to confessions and don't allow those cracks, because everybody that's in hell chose to be there. Period. End of discussion, you know? And I'm not saying that is you out there listening, but I'm telling you, fortify yourself, especially in this crazy time in the world right now. And it really is spiritually protecting you, and then take your children, and it's spiritually protecting your family. So to get the grace of God. What would you say about that, Lisa?
I have such a fun story for you. So again, self-reliance. Lisa Canning really struggles with it. Give me a checkbox. Give me a list. I'm going to try to follow it to the letter. And I was asking my spiritual director for this list, this like a surety. It's like, just tell me exactly what to do so I can be as holy as possible. And yes, I can just trust the Lord and I can just bypass all this suffering. And you know, my spiritual director was like, I'm sorry, that's just not how it works. But he was like, I will give you one box to check. And he was like, you can have one box of like, okay, I'm trying to be as holy as possible. And the box is, do you want to run to confession all the time? And I was like, like, that just like broke me. And I have carried that with me. I share it wherever I can, because I just think that's a really helpful thing. Like this just, you need to run to confession, that you have this awareness of what's going on in your life. And that's the part that is necessary. Like to be able, yes, to run to confession, you need to be like, oh, okay, what have I been thinking? What have I been doing? You know, how have I been acting? Mm-hmm. And then that constant assessment is just so necessary and so helpful. So yeah, I mean, I'm very grateful. I have a few priests in my life who don't mind me texting and being like, hey, are you busy? Like,
that's great. That's wonderful. Oh my gosh. I can't believe, but it's already that time, Lisa. This has gone by so fast. Where can people find you?
Come and join the party on Instagram at Lisa Canning, where I share my journey of 9 children and building a business and coaching moms in a Catholic mindset. And my website is lisacanning.ca.
And it is a party, y'all. I was at the party for a little bit there, and it is a lot of fun. So go check her out there. And thank you for being here, Lisa. It really was a pleasure. And just God bless you and everything that you're doing.
I love spending time with you. You are so beautiful.
I'm going to have you back. We'll have her back, everybody. God bless. Thank my guest again, Lisa Canning, for being here. Always such an honor and a pleasure. And for those of you that do not have my new book, Women Made New, Reflections on Adversity, Transformation, and Healing, get it for that woman in your life, your daughter, your grandma, your sister, whoever it is that you know could use that little bit of help. You can get it at ewtnrc.com. I'll be praying for all of you. God bless.